And now turn to the back of your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5 today in our message. And this is, again, toward the back of your Bible at the end of all of Paul's letters, basically, and before the book of Hebrews. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And so obviously we're taking a little bit of a break from the Gospel of John. We'll be back to it next week. But this week is about the building. And it also happens to be Sanctity of Life Sunday in the United States. This is a Sunday that where we remember the decision, Roe v. Wade, in which abortion was legalized in the United States, and then Ronald Reagan in the 80s made this a national day of sanctity of life. And so it's not that we have to follow the calendar of the United States and the church, not at all, don't get me wrong. But I found it to be an appropriate time, actually, to discuss this, even in conjunction with the building. Now, a few words. I'm not going to talk a lot about abortion today or about the pro-life stance or anything like that, but I do want to say a few things. First of all, when I talk about abortion, I recognize that everybody here probably knows someone amongst their friends or family who have had an abortion, and we love those people. Right? We love those people. I want to recognize that. I'm not here to condemn people today, but I'm here to proclaim the truth so that we can live out and enjoy the truth and make it known to others so that they too can. Now, I also want to recognize that in certain cases, it occurs to me that there's really only one case, but where it makes sense, actually, sadly, and I say that very gravely and seriously, but when the parent and the child are both going to die, but when the mother can be saved, I think, obviously, this very serious choice stands out to save the mom. But, thankfully, in God's providence, there is technology being developed in the world to where that might not even be a matter anymore, where that choice needs to be made. I know that probably begs for a whole sermon right there, but I'm just sharing those things up front so that you have a little bit of context for my brief comments about abortion later. But let's now turn to the Word of God and gain our direction from God through the Apostle Paul, who wrote to Timothy, his protege. He writes in 1 Timothy 4, 4 and 5, this is the Word of God. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that guides us in every way, even in terms of how we build buildings or how we think about children in the womb and life outside of the womb and everything, Lord. You transform us through your Spirit and your Word, and we thank you for that. And we pray you would do that work of transformation even now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think that we can probably all agree that the way that you look at something, the way you perceive something, has a huge impact on what you do with it, how you relate to it, how you use it. So, for example, just think of one of those people. You've heard these stories that go to a yard sale, and they've got that stack of books on that table, all those old books that this family is getting rid of, right? And each book is 25 cents, and someone decides, you know, I've got a dollar on me, I'll buy four books. And so they just grab a few that look somewhat interesting. They grab this one that looks really old. They go home, and it's going to be a busy day, but they really quickly just want to look at what are these books about? What are these books like? So they open that really old one first because it looks interesting. And right on the front page, it says, Property of President George Washington. Right. All of a sudden, realizing that this book was the property of the first president of the United States, it goes from being a 25-cent book that the person was going to put on their shelf and maybe read one day to a book that they're going to put in a glass case and potentially try to sell for thousands of dollars. Or at least if they keep it, show it to all their friends. You see, once we have seen something rightly, it leads us to treating it rightly. It leads us to treating it differently than we would have. Now, on a more serious level, how we perceive the baby in the womb of a mother has great significance too. I think, as we all know, in our modern society here in the United States, many don't look at the child in the womb of the mother as a person. They don't look at it as a full human being. And because of that, they treat it a certain way, right? Therefore, it's something, whatever it might be, that is expendable. It can be gotten rid of. In fact, abortion can be seen as a useful form of contraception, meaning keeping a baby from being born. It can be seen as a useful way of family planning. If it's not human, if I don't have to look at it that way, then I can just get rid of it. On the other hand, if the child in the womb is a child, if it's a person, right, now everything changes. Now this is someone who must be treated well, like any other human being, and brought into this world as healthy as you can possibly bring this child into this world. So you see, the way that we perceive something changes the way we treat it. And leads, if we're understanding and perceiving it rightly, leads us to treating it rightly. And so also with our building. Maybe that seems like a funny connection. You'll see why in a moment. But how do we perceive this project that the church is on? Even in this room, we've got people who are working and are able to give financially, or maybe are on teams, committees trying to support the work. And others of us are in middle school or high school. We don't have jobs. It's not necessarily so much on our radar, but we know that it's being done by the church. All of us are looking at the building in different ways, but are we looking at it rightly? Because if we are, then I think all of us actually could become not only more interested, but also play a part in bringing this building to birth in the most healthy way possible. And that really is going to encapsulate much of what I'm saying. It's really kind of the point. I want you to look at the church building project like a 9-month period of bringing another child in the family into the world, as healthy as it can possibly be. Metaphors always fall apart. Comparing the church building to a baby in the womb will fall apart on some level. So take it this way. Look at it as something that, like a baby, that we are trying to care for and bring into the world in the most healthy way possible. That will then be like just another one of the community that together with us enjoys the sanctity of Jesus' life, the sacred life of Jesus, and plays a role with us in making the sacred life of Jesus known. Look at it that way. Well, how did I get there? Well, let's think about this. Looking again at 1 Timothy 4, 4 and 5. Everything created by God is good. Did you know that? Everything created by God is good. That includes you. By the way, we just talked about that. Jesus says you're of more value than many sparrows. just for a second, kind of as an aside from the whole building thing, do you know that despite the fact that you were born in sin, just like the rest of the world, despite the fact that, as John says, people love darkness rather than light, that nevertheless, you have been made in the image of God, and you are good with regard to that. Because sin can't make something bad that God made good, ultimately. It is only if God allows sin to do that, that it will be. We are good creatures with regard to the fact that God made us. Now, but that also goes for all of life. All of life. Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God. That sounds maybe a bit difficult to understand. It has been made holy by the word of God. What that means is that everything has been created by God. It is made holy, it is made good because it came from God. So when we use this phrase, the sanctity of life, the sacredness of life, the reason that life is sacred is because God Himself, the Holy and Sacred One, has made it such. He has made life sacred. He has made life good. So we begin there. Just recognizing that all things are good, and human life in particular is good. Now, what makes human life so good in God's eyes? What makes it so special? Well, a big part of it, not all of it, but a big part of it is that life has been created with a purpose. A big part of what makes human life sacred is the purpose that God has given to human life. So I'll read to you from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man, the very first man who was ever made in the image of God in history. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. To work it and to keep it. Do you know the word that we use today to describe this first man's purpose? We use the word culture. Culture making. Culture building. Culture is the way that we do things with the things that God's given us. God gave Adam and his wife Eve and then all of his progeny, all of his children, this world to work with and to develop for the glory of God. In fact, that original plan when God's telling Adam to do this in the garden was not just so that he would keep this garden itself, but that with his partner, his wife, and then with his children, they would extend the borders of the garden throughout the world. And all of these people who bear God's image would be spread out throughout the world. And so the knowledge of God would be spread out throughout the whole world as culture is being made, all to display the glory of God. So part of what makes, a big part of what makes human life sacred is our sacred purpose, to make culture. And culture involves everything. Everything we do. That's why I think it's a legitimate way to describe the human purpose. It's everything from what we typically think of as culture, like music and art. But it includes business. It includes politics. In fact, most centrally, it includes worship. It includes singing and praying and learning and confessing and receiving grace and all of those things that we do in a worship building on Sunday. Culture is, of course, a part of that. Adam and Eve were to go out and build places, I assume, for people to congregate and meet with the Lord. I don't know exactly what that would have looked like before they rebelled, but worship is at the center of culture, human culture, at least a healthy one. And so that brings us to the building. Culture making is like the big umbrella that building making is a part of. And especially church building making is important. You see, the sacredness of our lives as Christ's people is being expressed not only on Sundays when we worship, but in all of our lives as we develop culture with our mouths and our hearts and our hands and our feet. But there is something extremely special about the way that CCCVA right now is expressing the sacredness of our lives in union with Jesus. And that is that we're developing a building. We're making a church building for the worship of God. This is an expression of the sanctity, the sacredness of our lives united to Jesus by faith. And so how do we look then rightly at this building? How do we look at it so that we honor this cultural project the way that we ought to? How do we look at it so that we're motivated to treat it that way? And that's why I offer you this metaphor. And I encourage you to use it, not to forget it, not to say, well, that was interesting, I'm moving on. But anytime we hear about the church building from now on, I want you to think of it not simply as a church building, but as a baby in the womb that the community, CCCVA, is going to give birth to. This cultural project is like a baby that we are giving birth to for the life of the world. Because in this building, it will be a place where we gather together with that child who's grown up, and we declare the sacredness of the life of Jesus, whose sacred life is for the life of the world. I have a brother-in-law now, really a nephew-in-law, brother-in-law. And he's every Christmas and every birthday for Amelia and for Annalise, he's giving money, just a little bit of money for their college tuition or for their schooling right now. Every birthday and at Christmas, this has become a habit, a practice for him. Why? Because he's a part of the family. And he sees that these girls are a part of the family. These little baby girls that they once were a part of the family. And he's looking at them and seeing how he can contribute to their life and their health as a part of the family. So that they can together with the family be all that they can be for God. We need to look at the building that way. It is a baby that's being brought into the world, a part of our very community that is going to be centrally important to how we carry out our mission, not just in this generation, but in your generation, younger people, and even to a generation beyond that. We are bringing into the world this very important person, and shouldn't we do so with care? How can you help to bring this baby into the world healthy and happy and able to declare Christ's praises together with us? Many ways. You can see possibly joining a committee. There's a building committee. There's a fundraising committee. Maybe you do have some background and something that you want to offer to being a part of the committee. They're like the doctors standing around the table trying to bring this baby to birth. But there's other doctors in the room. They're praying doctors. How can you contribute? If you don't have money, if you don't have background, you can be praying for this baby to be born healthy. You know that if you're somebody in your family who's having a baby and you hear that it's possible this baby is not being taken care of well enough because there's not enough money, you would give money to that person. Please, I want you to get a good doctor. See it that way too. Our giving needs to be seen as helping this child to develop so that we all together as a community can declare and enjoy the sacredness of Christ's life in us and through us. So that is all I'm advocating today, is to see that this expression of the sacredness of our life, this cultural project, this church building making, look at it the right way so that this child might be born healthy and happy and declaring God's praises together with all of us for many generations. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for giving us life, this sacred life from your hand, this goodness that Satan couldn't take away from us, that only if you were to allow it would sin destroy and erase the image in us, but you haven't. And Lord, we know that Christ, He Himself was in a way destroyed, defaced, so that we might be honored and restored. So that we might, Lord, carry out the work that humans were originally given to build culture for your glory and for the good of our neighbor. And Lord, you've given us this project. In your providence, in the way that your plan is being carried out, you have put us in a place where we are involved in a culture project of making a church building. We want to treat this with care. We want to do it right, Lord. So please use this metaphor of a baby to help everybody here better perceive what it is that we're after, what we're doing. Lord, help us to be motivated even to get involved in some way. Doing chores for money to give to the building. Pledging to give to the building this year. Joining a committee, praying. Help us look forward to that day when this new member of the family will be born. In Jesus' name, amen.